No, I need them.
We are now on the record.
Any more short sheets?
Parshas Bullock tends to come up during the summer, so we tend to do it during the Parshas year. And last year we focused on Parshas Bullock is a little bit of a different type of shear, because of a Parsha, I mean, sorry. Because if you remember, we discussed last time that there were opinions that perhaps it wasn't really part of the Torah. It doesn't really occur to B'nai Yisrael. It kind of happens outside of B'nai Yisrael. It affects them, but if you were living in as part of the Jewish people in the desert, you probably would have missed the whole Parsha. Because it all happens in Moab. It doesn't really happen around them. I also always found it to be an interesting Parsha because it's the one Parsha that I can think of where the star is really an animal. Really, the highlight of Balak really would be the talking donkey. So I wanted to focus on the donkey a little bit this week in our discussion. So, thankfully, I think that didn't get on the recording. So if you look at this week's Parsha, the Pasuk quote number one, Vatir, Eniha asom vatet lefanai, zeh shalosh regalim, ulai not to sub mipanai, ki ata gam oscha harakti v'osa chiesi. So we all know the story that the donkey sees the angel, that which Bilam does not see, and in fact the donkey tries to avoid the angel to save Bilam. Bilam, who doesn't know what's going on, is not grateful at all. Finally, Bilam sees the angel holding the sword and realizes what happens. And the angel says to him, you know, you should be grateful because were it not for what the donkey did on your behalf, right now you would be dead and the donkey would be alive. So Rashi points out, what does that indicate? It indicates that Bilam is alive. Okay, that wasn't such a great one. But it indicates that the donkey, she is dead. So why was the donkey dead? What happened to the donkey?
Bilam killed him.
No.
Bilam. So then, not to be Mavaye.
So Rashi says, quotes of Chaim Shmulevitz, or something like that. Rashi points out, "Va'ata mipnei shedibra hochachticha v'lo yecholta la'amod b'tochachta," because you got told off by this donkey, and it's kind of embarrassing to be told off by a donkey. K'moshe kasav v'yomer lo. Al kein haragtiha shelo yomru zu hisha salka. In order to not embarrass Bilam, that's why the donkey was put to death. Because God cares that people should not be embarrassed. This is not the only case where animals are put to death in order that people not be embarrassed. V'chein v'esa behema ta'arogu. There are other cases in the Torah where animals are put to death, and Rashi indicates it's the same idea here. What are these cases that Rashi is referring to? Well, if you look at the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah, if anyone ever learned Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah is a very long Mishnah. It actually goes to the second side of the page. And the Mishnah goes through a discussion of different types of Sanhedrin, different types of courts for different types of cases. Mm-hmm. Certain types of cases require a Beis Din of three. Mm-hmm. There are a handful that require a Beis Din of five. You got a very few number that require a seven. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of 23s and then some 71s. Mm-hmm. So the mission just goes through the list. If you have the following case, this is the type of Beis Din you're going to need. When it's discussing the 23s, it has the following list. Dinei nefashis be'esrim v'shalosh. Any capital crime gets 23. Haroveya v'hanirva be'esrim v'shalosh. In the case of bestiality, you get a basin of 23. Shenema v'harakta sa'isha ve'esa behema. In the case of bestiality, not only do you kill the person who's involved, but you kill the animal as well.
Why?
So Marcia, very well asked, why? This wasn't
why
the animal.
Kill the animal? It's not the
what
animal.
Does Sydney do, you ask?
Well, Sydney just gets out.
Okay.
Okay. He just gets loose
and goes
to part
right.
Burger.
Okay.
He's allowed to eat treif. He's a dog.
Okay. He can eat treif.
In fact, it might be a mitzvah, right?
I don't know.
La kelev tashlichu, the pasuk says. The non-Jewish, non-kosher meat is supposed to be given to the dogs. Right. So that's an excellent question.
Why would you kill the animal?
Right. So why in the world? That's what we're here to focus on. Why would you kill the animal? An excellent. Similarly, shor haniskal the eser v'shalosh. If an animal, for example, kills a person, the animal is. Oddly enough, you have a case over this. The animal is brought before 23 judges. And you think about it, it's an odd idea. And you turn to the animal and say, well, how do you plead? How does this case go? Right? And do you swear, please put your hoof, I know where I am. Okay, you could affirm. You know, it's a very odd type of case that you're going to have here. But the Beis Din indicates that in the event that you have such a case, you will require 23 judges, and the animal is tried. Shemar Hashor Yisak Kalva Gambu Alav Yumas. Misas Balam Kach Misas Hashor. Just like if the owner would have been a murderer, it would be brought to a court of 23. So to an animal. Hazeva Ari Hadova Number of Abardos Van Nachosh Misasim Vesam Shalosh. In the event, no, it's not just a matter of an ox. The Mishnah says, but if you have a wolf or a lion or a bear, oh my, or anything else, they would also get 23. Rabbi Lezer Omer Kolakol Mahargam Zacha. Rabbi Lezer says no. In the event that there's a wild bear, he doesn't get due process, or she doesn't get due process. But rather, first person who shoots him, thank you.
What's Vagamba Alav Yumas?
What?
Vagamba Alav Yumas.
So we assume we don't kill the owner, but rather there is a fine that has to be paid.
Well, doesn't it also depend on whether, like, he had taken normal steps and ox gores once, it's assumed to be
correct. Sure, Tom versus sure Muad.
Yeah.
So the question is here: this idea of killing animals.
One tiny and little question.
Yeah, sure.
I know what all the other animals are, but
Bardalus. Bardalus is Machokas Rashi Tosis, what it is exactly.
Uh-huh.
It's unclear what it is. It's the type of thing that you don't want to meet in a dark alley. Mm-hmm. That's what we say. But weasel is definitely one of the opinions, yes. So that's... So we see from here that animals have trials and animals get punished. Now, let's just take a step backwards and think for a moment. Obviously, this is true in secular law. This is true in halacha as well. In order to punish somebody, they have to have the ability to make a decision. Reward and punishment is very closely related to free will.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that a person does not have free will, right, the person on the one hand should not be punished, should not be held liable for what they do, and they also should not be rewarded for what they do.
So when my dog does a good thing and I give him a treat, that's wrong?
I don't. If you were God, yes. But being that, I think no one's accused you of that. I think so. The idea being that that in the event we assume that dogs do not have free will, mm-hmm. then why are we punishing them? So the first approach, again, obviously, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says the reason that the donkey was punished had nothing to do with the donkey. The donkey was put to death for fear of embarrassing Bilam. So Shlomo, let me ask you a question. No one's accusing you, trust me. Right? It's been a while since someone's confused you with Ted. But you're eating the wings of chickens at this point, Shlomo. Do you consider that unfair to the chicken? Right? So I'm saying is that clearly...
Not only that, but the donkey acted in a meritorious way. He attempted to save Bilam.
Absolutely. No one's saying anything bad about the donkey. Right? This was quite a special donkey, right? According to the Mishnah of us, this donkey was one of the few things created in Bein HaShemashos. Right? One of the last things to be created. So
this particular donkey.
Right. Right. So with that in mind, mm-hmm. You know, so the question is, obviously the idea is related to the chicken wings. No, chickens do not deserve to be made into soup. However, when God created this world, you'll excuse the choice of words, he made a certain pecking order. And
chickens are at the bottom.
I know they're on the bottom, but they're below us. So too, we consider the life of the animal to be inferior, shall we say, to the life of human beings. That's why we are allowed to eat them. And therefore, if not just a matter of getting nourishment, I mean, sustained by the animals, in the event a person would save a person from embarrassment, that would also be all right. We're allowed to take an animal's life for nourishment. We're allowed to take an animal's life for clothing. We can take an animal's life, I would guess, for a nice rug, right? Or a handbag, right? So this is no different than that. So clearly in this case, when you're punishing the animal, it has nothing to do with whether the animal deserves it or not. And that's what Rashi's saying. Vesa behema taharogu. In the event that a person is being put to death because of an action they did with an animal, right? So because of that, to somehow, you know, that people shouldn't see the animal going around and then be reminded of that action, that's why we put them to death. Not that they've done anything to deserve it. Right? So that seems to be the approach that we're taking, that Rashi's offering here. There are other logical possibilities. The Ramban raises one of them, where he says as follows. So let's say they have the Shor HaNiskal, right? The ox that gores, and we put him to death for that. But he had no choice. He's not mentally competent.
Well, with the Shor, mm-hmm. as I said before, there's a difference between the Shor Muad and the Shor Tam. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he's displayed a tendency to be aggressive...
What's the difference? The difference, practically, if a person gets killed by a Shor Tam, what do we do? And if a person gets killed by a Shor Muad, what do we do? I think that was one of the great words. Muad.
I think I suppose if we checked him, we could actually put him on the barbecue.
No, so the difference is as follows. A Shor Muad, where no one suspected it, so the financial penalty against the owner
is less.
Shor Tam is less than it would be by a Shor Muad. Mm. But the animal gets put to death one way or the other. Which is the question. Well, wait a second.
So how do you ever get
to Muad? That's the obvious question. The idea is that it hasn't been tried. When we finally drag it into court, he said, and this is the third time it's happened. Had we dragged it into court after the first one?
The trial was set for Tuesday, and on Monday he gored again.
Right. Or he
is
or,
his first name Al?
Or on Sunday he was going 3 for 3. Frank. Isn't it Frank? Frank. Nobody knows football? Gore Meshuggah. So the Ramban offers the following. The Ramban says, why is it that this is Rabban al Torah number 4? Tamani imadrisha kamashma miyada chaya kmo miyada adam liyos onish bedaver ein bechaya das to tearish osher kaboschar. So the Ramban says animals do not have intellect; they do not have the ability to choose right or wrong. Since they do not have the intellectual ability to choose right or wrong, how can you punish them? How can you reward them? It's just, they're not making a decision.
There's actually data these days that some animals do have a degree of intellect. Elephants seem to have intellect.
Dogs.
Rin Tin Tin. Lassie. Well, that's the. That's, we'll have to discuss a little bit. What does this mean? Right. So he says, why are we rewarding? Why are we punishing? Why does this make any sense? So the Ramban suggests, perhaps, the only reason that it's Yod Niskol is put, it's a gezerah. That, you know, somehow it's related to the sanctity of life.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that kills a human being is put to death. Not that it's its fault, not that it's a punishment, but as a way of perhaps mourning... of indicating.
Just a preventive of another accident like that.
Well, right. Yeah, which is why. Which leads to the question. Obviously, it says here that the Nachash is also tried. So, let's say a cobra kills.
Well, again.
A cobra kills. Do you have to go out and search for that particular cobra?
So, I think practically we do nowadays, right? I think, you know, if an alligator attacks or a bear or something, they go out, they find it, and they put it down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's practically what to do, right? So the Ramban's trying to understand. So the Ramban says clearly this can't be a matter of schar va'onesh, because animals do not have the intellectual capacity to earn one or the other. Now there's another possibility as well, right? Perhaps a ox goring, we put it down as a punishment to the owner.
Financial penalty.
Right. You did not watch your animal, and therefore, you know, whether this is supposed to somehow stop this from happening again or not, but perhaps that's the reason. So the Ramban says, no, that's not the reason.
You would put down an ownerless animal just the same.
Absolutely. If there was a wild animal, a shor midbar would be put down just the same.
So a preventive measure, though, for another attack would make more sense.
Right. So that would be another possibility. Again, this has nothing, the Ramban saying it has nothing to do with Schar Va'onesh. That can't be it. Now, it's interesting, the Rashba points out that whether an ownerless animal is put down is Machokes, the questioner asks. So he says, and in fact, we Paskin, believe it or not, that a wild animal is not put down if he's a Shor Niskol. So, how does that work? So the Rashba says, you know, there are other reasons why we don't put it down. This is not the reason. He still supports the Ramban. So that's not so simple. But the bottom line is we've discussed a few possibilities why an animal is put down in this case. Either one possibility, which is rejected, it seems, is the idea it's a punishment to the owner. Another possibility it is that it's done to show respect for human life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's another possibility we've considered. Right, and there's different shades of that, right? Because as we have the case here with the donkey and Bilam, right? It's not just to show respect of the human life, but it's even to avoid embarrassment of a person.
Well, embarrassment is likened unto death.
Right, but given the choice, I'm not so sure which one that'd be. I would say you pick. That would be another possibility. But it seems that nobody goes with the idea that animals actually have a certain degree of free will and a certain amount of bechira, shall we say, that allows them to act in a way where they will be punished or rewarded. Again, so these are two sides of the same coin. If I'm saying that there's no way I'm punishing the animal because of something it did, I'm also saying that there's no way I'm rewarding an animal for something it did, and I'm also clearly saying that there's no heaven for animals. There is no doggy heaven, according to this.
There was a movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I'm sure it's true.
So why do we reward the klovim with a trade from
Good question. Eina koshva baruchu mekapeh schar kol beria.
This parsha, he seems to have free will.
What?
The donkey seems to have free will in this parsha.
Well, this is a little bit of a different donkey.
You wouldn't call him an ass.
Not your rapper.
There was Mr. Ed on TV.
Wilbur. That's hey, true. I can't.
Show as a child.
Good trivia question. What are the three talking animals in Tanakh?
There's the donkey.
The Nachash.
The Nachash.
The snake in the Garden of Eden.
That's
and
what he said.
Right. That's second. There's a third one. There is an opinion that, so the in the time of Eli HaKohen, the Aron was stolen mm-hmm. by the Plishtim, and they weren't happy with the Aron, so they eventually sent it back. When they sent it back, they put it on a wagon with cows, and the cows sang. It's interesting. The Rishonim asks, the Ritva asks, so, you know, why don't we why is that less cool than a talking donkey? Singing cows are pretty worthwhile. Cool. So we'll discuss it.
Not exactly singing or humming. They didn't know the
words. Oh, okay. You know, so I'll just tell an Alex joke in honor of that. So a guy walks into a bar with his dog. He says to the bar, he said, I give me a free drink if my dog can talk. He says, yeah. He said, okay, well, try it out. So I says, he says to the dog, how's your day? Said, rough. He said, what's on top of it? He says, roof. He says, greatest home run hitter ever. He says, Ruth. The guy says, get out of here. Throws them both out. Dog talks to the guy, said, probably should have said Hank Aaron, huh?
The way I heard that joke, it was a vaudeville agent.
Okay. Thank you, you've been a great crowd. Mm-hmm. So,
Rabbi, what about the bull and the Torador? The bull kills the... Wasn't he a Torador?
Matador.
Well, no, she's right. It's actually a Torador.
So what about that? Then the animal would be put down?
Yeah.
Well, they die. He's dead anyway.
If it makes you feel it better when the Torador kills the bull, mm-hmm. they actually take the bull and distribute it to the poor.
Yeah, right.
No, they do.
I'm sure in Mexico they sometimes make sure of that.
Yeah, they
not,
do.
Not only that, but that's dinner.
No.
That's.
I didn't even know.
If the bull kills the matador, it is
true. No, but no, it's absolutely true. They distribute the meat.
Okay.
And
maybe they do.
Yeah, the leather is
getting off topic.
Right. I think we might be a little off topic. That's like a fair point.
Well, I was just
So again, everything we see from the question of Shor Niskel, everything we see from Rashi here, all points to the agreement. Mm-hmm. That animals just do not have the intellectual capacity, they do not have free will. There are some psukim, though, in Parshas Noach, which really throw a wrench into this. Originally, when the world is created, Adam is put on this earth, he is given a vegan diet. He is not allowed to eat any animals. And man and animal live happily together. Man does not eat animal. Animal does not eat man. Over time, man sins, and with that, animal starts eating man. God brings a flood to the world. Man saves all animals. Because of that, after they leave the ark, we've got some new rules. And under the new rules, man is allowed to eat animal. Right, there are only six mitzvahs before the flood. Now there is a seventh mitzvah of Eiver Menachai. You're not allowed to eat a limb of a live animal. So stop it.
Well, that was supposedly one of the sins right? of the Shvatim, right?
Right, right. So that is one thing. And then when the Psukim tell us this, so even though we can eat them, they still can't eat us. So if you look at the Psukim in Paraktas, it says, Vayivarech Elokim es Noach es bonav vayomer lehem puruvu mulos aretz. As they leave the ark, he says, go, you are blessed, go have many children. Umarachem v'chitchem yal kol chayas aretz v'al kol ofa shamayim chol asher timos amol chod legeayem v'yedchem nitanu. And I'm giving over to you the entire animal kingdom, the birds, the animals, the fish. They're all now given over to you. You're now allowed to eat all of this like before, and you can eat vegetables. Now you've got a great new protein source. That's it. Don't worry about it. Ach, basar ben nafsha dama lo socheilu. But you don't eat it while it's still alive. It has to be
dead.
Vas vaches dimchem nasho sechem edros mil kochaya adrish edrishenu miyad adam miyad ish achiv edroshes nefesh adam. However, despite the fact that you can eat the animals, if an animal goes and eats you, they're going to pay for that. Animals cannot kill man, and man cannot kill man. So, those are the psukim. That's what God commands. That's what God states as they leave the teva. And he says that I'm hereby saying that an animal that eats a man will be punished. Why? So Rashi comments as follows: Miyad kochay lefisha chotu dar hamavol v'hufku l'machol chayos ros lishlof behem. In the time before the flood, they sinned, and because they sinned, the animals God told the animals, "You have free reign on the people." Shenam nishol kevehemos didmo v'fichol hutzuch izar aleim esachayos. Therefore, God said to the animals, "No more." So what's going on here? God tells the animals, okay, no more eating the people. And what if they do eat the people? But they will be punished. Indicating that the fact that they could have a mitzvah, a commandment, indicates that the animals have the ability to have free choice. And if they have free choice, then they can be punished. And if they can be punished, they can be rewarded. So Rashi's reading of that pasuk indicates not what we've been saying until now, but rather Rashi seems to be giving animals, subscribing to animals, a certain amount of intellect, a certain amount of free will, and based on that, the ability to be rewarded and punished for their actions. The Mizrahi, in his super commentary on Rashi, right? Rashi's a commentary, right? Mizrahi's a super commentary. So he picks up on this, and he says, whoa, wait a second, what did Rashi just say there? Because lefitzach ha-chutzach izah her aleim esachayas pirish shiyachzu letivam shehutvu lom v'tchilas b'yasam shelo yerdu b'hem. He said, it's not a commandment, it's just a statement. Their nature is reverting to back, or the original nature of animals was not to attack man. Their nature changed to a predatory nature because man sinned. God is now saying, okay, I'm switching your nature back to what it was. You will rule over them.
Not on you.
Right. Below us, haramish. It's not like he's saying that this is really a mitzvah, a warning to them. Because it can't be, because they don't have the intellectual capacity. Right. So the Mizrahi is turning around and they say, oh, Rashi didn't say that. Rashi, you thought? No, he didn't say that. Rashi's not saying that they're going to be rewarded. No. That couldn't be. Because they can't. Rather, this is what we're doing. The Be'er Basoder is a commentary on the Mizrahi. So let's get this straight. Rashi is a commentary on the Chumash. Right? Mizrahi is on Rashi, and the Be'er Basoder is on the Mizrahi. So again, technically,
Rashi's... It's a super-supra.
It's a super-duper. Right? commentary, and he picks up on this and says, "Whoa, this was important. This discussion right now between Rashi and the Mizrahi is a discussion as to animals. How do we understand them? What is the intellectual ability of an animal? So we're not going to go through the entirety thereof, but in short, the Be'er Basoder says." That animals do not have intellect, but animals do have nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, in general, bound to their nature. It is possible for them to go outside of their nature in rare occasions, and that's what they're being warned about. You know, stay within that which is natural.
The notion of warning an animal to stay with its teacher suggests that it has...
Correct. So the bear basada is somehow trying to find a middle ground between yes and no.
Also, the other inconsistency is if you say that God didn't instruct the animals not to attack man, but rather change their nature, well, some animals are predatory by nature and others are not. Some animals are herbivorous, some are carnivorous. So what do you mean that he told the animals to change their nature? It's like
right.
a blanket statement.
Right. So again, there definitely are animals out there nowadays, lions.
For example,
you know, do lions naturally attack people? There are very few animals, I think, that naturally attack people unless they feel that they are threatened.
Well, usually, if a lion
or really hungry
or a tiger attacks humans, it's usually due to a sickness or injury. A good example would be the man-eaters of India. Usually, they turned out to be injured tigers.
Kenya.
What?
They were the man-eating lions of Kenya. They just recently.
Lions, but
right.
not tigers.
Right, yeah, but there was something, there were when they were building the railroad in Kenya.
Oh, the ghosts in the darkness, they're at the University of Chicago.
Right, so
they're actually a subspecies without a mane, and they started attacking men, but nobody ever found out the reason why.
Right, and only recently did they do studies on them.
I think it depends on how Zaftig
human it is. I think people are not Zaftig in Kenya.
No, but that's a good point. Right. Because, like, as I said, the tigers tended to have some sort of injury, which
right.
meant they could no longer right. hunt their normal prey, so they turned first usually to cattle
right.
and then to humans.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I think that the ones that when they found these lions finally, they found out that they had some tooth abscess, which
mm-hmm.
hurt their ability to hunt their normal prey.
Perhaps they were encroaching on, like, the bears and the pet foxes here and coyotes. We're encroaching on their natural habitats, so they're hungry, so they come to where they can smell food like garbage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so man has created this problem too.
Right. So it's interesting, again, if we want to get a little messianic here, so at the end of the days, we know that the lion and the lamb will lie together. And the Ramban writes that this is just be reverting back to the way it was in the time of the Garden of Eden.
Right, as opposed to the Garden of Eating.
Right.
And what will the lion eat?
And I think in Yeshaya says it will graze.
It will eat grass?
It will eat grass.
Well, then there's the issue like
and puppy chow. They'll have lion chow.
Eat the grass, but they eat the roots. That's why there was the fighting between the cattlemen and the sheep.
In Cripple Creek.
Up on Cripple Creek.
She
sends
me. Right, so again, so.
Winnemucca.
Winnemucca, the lion sleeps tonight, is what I say. Winnemucca. So. So one could make the argument that Rashi's just disagreeing here, that Rashi is actually taking the opinion that, right, Rashi doesn't have to agree with everyone else. He's enough of a person to say, you know what, maybe perhaps he's of the opinion that animals are of an intellectual capacity where they, in fact, could. I mean, the Ramban wouldn't agree with this, but that's fine.
But why couldn't we say they just have a capacity, but it's far more limited than ours, and they're capable of a certain amount of free will, but they're more bound by instinct.
Right, I think that's what the Bear Basada tries to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but bottom line is, Carl said, you need a yes or a no here.
Where's Feldman when we need him?
Right? Putting down some animals. So the bottom line, it's very hard to say Rashi holds this way, because Rashi elsewhere in the Chumash repeatedly sounds very much not this way. Looking at Bereshis, Vayitzer, so the word Vayitzer has two yuds in it. So Rashi says, why? Shtei Yitziros. When man was made, right, he was made to Yitziro Olam Hazer, Yitziro Tchias HaMesim. That when man is created, he was created to live a life, and then afterwards have an afterlife. Amo Behema Sheino Medes Ledin, Lo Nechtem Yitziro Shnei Yudin. However, when an animal is created, it's one and done.
Yuds.
There's only one yud. Why? Because it's never judged. Why is an animal never judged?
It's not capable of...
Correct. So Rashi seems to be saying, like everybody else, it's never judged, because you can't judge an animal. Which, again, would not square with him saying that animals, you know, have to be warned and given mitzvahs.
So why was the whole concept of the teva created then? It seems that they had no das, they didn't, you know...
Because they can't swim that good. It has nothing to do with das. No, you know, it's going to rain for 40 days.
My point is, why were they saved? Granted, they have some type of purpose, but it seems that they don't have such a high level as people, which is what you're saying. So what was the need to keep them around?
No. Take it another further. He's called Basar, is that called?
Correct. Oh, that's right. That there was intermarriage.
So that implies that the animals were doing something wrong.
Right. Right. It's wrong.
Correct.
Better said. So that is a fair point. But the question is, was some animals became violent to man because of the actions of man. Right? One could make the argument that animals, ki hishkis kol basar, somehow was in the influence of man as well. Now, logically, how do I put that together? I'm not sure. So that's one Rashi. Rashi says that animals are never judged. Rashi, still in Parshas Bereishis, v'haya ke'achad mimenu, harehu yachid betachtonim, k'mo shani yachid b'alyonim, ma'hi yechidaso l'das tovara, ma'ash enkim b'behemu v'chaya. So when, after Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas, he has to be thrown out so he can't eat from the Eitz Hachaim. Why? Because he would be too much like God. Why would that be true? So because he will have the ability to distinguish between good and bad, that which animals do not have. So the opinion, so to say that Rashi here is really disagreeing with everyone and saying that animals do have intellect and animals do have free will, it's a very hard argument to make.
If an animal was never judged, right, I understand, not judged by God, the Beis Din Shalmala, why do you need a Beis Din of 23 to put an animal to death?
Right, so that's what we discussed early on. So we gave different opinions that somehow or another, either...
The judges view the temperament of the animal and they say, look, it's a very dangerous animal.
Right, or again, this could just be for the sake of making it very public.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that people should be aware. Other Rishonim have a voice their opinions. Looking at the Radak here and the Pasuk in Noach, he says, so the Radak clearly says that only man has reward and punishment because only man has intellect. He comes up with an idea. I can't really tell you why this should make logical sense, but animals are rewarded and punished for their interactions with man. Now that it's a classic Balabatish svar, meaning it answers the question, but it doesn't really answer the underlying question. So now I understand. Why is it that the animals get the nevela because they didn't bark at night, right, etc.? Because that's something to do with man, right? Why does Hashem have to say don't do it? Because that's related to man. Right, the Roveya, Nirba, Shor, Nisko, why? Has to do with man. Right? The donkey, Nisik Parsha, has to do with man. Logically, why does that make sense? I have no idea. I can't explain that. But again, this is the opinion of Radak. Looking at the Abarbanel on that pasuk. Varan kasu miyako chaya edrishena, she'im chaya sasod v'tishpoch dam ha'adam, Hashem yidroch linkom nikmasam. So the Ran says, what does that mean? It means that animals would be punished if they kill men.
So Radak has an additional difficulty there.
Yeah.
He's saying that for a given animal and his interaction with man, he might be rewarded or punished. But with the clover from Mitzrayim,
we're rewarding the dogs today.
Right, right, absolutely. That's
we're rewarding for the actions of their ancestors.
Correct.
As we are rewarded for the ancestors of ourselves, like
But this isn't Zechus Avos. Right? Like even if Sydney's Elta Zeta was not an Egyptian dog, right? He still gets to go to Park Burger. Right? Right. So usually when it comes to the idea of rewarding animals, it's rewarding the min. Right?
Species.
Right. The species is being rewarded, right? Because dogs exist, therefore all dogs from here on in, etc. Right? Right? Somehow there's a relationship between the raven that didn't leave the teva and the raven that feeds the Nevi'im in the time of Eliyahu. Right? Right?
Snakes.
Right. Well, that could be genetic because they're all descendants of that one.
But that's not what the Radak was saying.
No, no. So the Radak seems to be saying that some it only has to do with the relationship. The Abarbanel says the inyan zehu. This is what it means. Shehat tviya Hashem teva l'chol chaya hareges adam sheyachush tiva ba'ofen shekol hamotzam minachay shargen l'ro in yana. Avol eni odeya me'enu zarav. So he explains. He says, you know what it means? It's not that we put to death. If an animal attacks people, it will be weakened, so it will be killed by other animals. The Abarbanel himself says, I have no idea where that comes from. Right? Those are the last words. I have no idea where he got that from. The Rambam, not surprisingly, is very opposed to the idea of animals having any form of free will or intellectual capacity. The Mor Nevuchim, he writes, Omdan, inyan zeh gemur ba'al chayim she'eino medaber ro nishma kal b'im nu'aseinu lifnim. This idea that animals that cannot talk somehow get rewarded, that is not part of our religion. No one ever has an idea. In quotes, though, there are those people who are saying this nowadays, he says it's nonsense. The Rambam comes very strongly against it. The problem is, with the Rambam, is, yeah, you're definitely giving the majority opinion, but as we'll see shortly, there's a strong minority that think that animals do get rewarded, and do get punished, and do have the intellectual capacity. Notably, Rav Sajagon. That's a big name. If you look at Rav Sajagon...
38 Raya's?
What? This is a backdoor comment. You would have never seen this coming. Right? In the Emunah V'Deyas, he said, V'sheva Mahari Hara Machmas Torah HaKabonos. So in the Emunah V'Deyas, Rav Sajagon writes out, he says, why do people reject Judaism? What does it bother? And he lists off 10 issues that bother people. He could have written this last week. Right? These issues that he lists off are classic issues that people have bothered to this day. So on the list is Karbanos.
Where's that?
What?
Where's animal sacrifice?
Right, so a lot of people, they push back because of animal sacrifice. What is this? So he's having this discussion. Some people are bothered that you're killing the animal. Other people are bothered by the fact that I'm sprinkling the blood or that I'm burning the fats. He said, God made everything mortal. He said, so the way it works is animals are given a certain amount of time. When does their time end?
When we shecht them.
Correct. V'hemidas ha-shchita v'mokum ha-moves. This is one of the ways that animals are put to their dying. V'imhayi b'shchita tzar yosem mitzar hamisa harehu yodeya v'kach roi im kach shiyigmo lo b'shir ha-tosefes ha-tzar. Let's say dying through shchita is more painful than dying a different way. So the animal will go get rewarded olam haba for that.
Wait a minute. That means that there's all dogs go to heaven.
I know. Oh, there's the shechted ones coming. So this is
not more painful than other ways than a hammer to the head, the way the goyim kill their animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the other option would be dying of old age.
Well, the truth is, nearly all dying of any animal, which is same.
Right, so this is unbelievable. Out of nowhere, right? This wasn't even the topic. But there's some people, oh, you're bothered then. Don't worry, so he'll get more schar in Olam Haba. What? This is a shocking comment by Rav Sajagon. Like, there's no build-up. There's no discussion, you know. You might have thought this, but in fact, we see from here that they have intellect. If they have intellect, they can be... you have expected here. But this is just a backdoor comment. Anu omim kein, im yisbar she yesh tosefes mehechra hadas, lo alpi nevua avol tzvilas hakev ezrikas adam v'chev kvar bera torah shereihu asa davar lomot lanu ki adam hu mishka nasho seinu. He explains why it works. But in it, he says, don't be so bothered about the animals. Worst comes to worst, they die. They'll get more olam haba. This is not a typo. This is not a blip. You look at the Gaonim, they seem to hold this way. You look at the Tshuvas HaGaonim in number 16. V'dilma mamdi kamina rebi l'kach notzarta shebevadei notzar v'huto l'mishchitoso. Famous case of Rebbe gets into big trouble. Why? He's walking by a farm and a cow runs to him and he hides behind his kapata. So he says to him, so the animal was scared, they're about to shecht it. So Rebbe tells to the animal, listen, you were created to be someone's steak. That was seen to, what? What? Right? So that's it. So he goes and he... So the Gemara indicates that was inappropriate. And Rebbe was punished seriously for making that comment. So, well, what was wrong with that? Isn't that true?
But it scared the cow.
No,
or
he didn't say that to the cow. Sorry. He's
what?
He
didn't
say that to the cow.
So?
The cow had no dogs. What's the point of talking to him?
Says, so maybe the cow has a little bit of dog.
Not all of them. Right? He just keeps on quoting the movie over and over again.
It said the cow had a little bit of
dye.
That's
right.
All he said.
So he says, he said, any animal, which bottom line, that's out there, that God allows us to kill them, so this animal is now my chulent. So he gets schar for that. The kaim alon she'en kosh baruch mekapei aschar kol beri refich akol notzer lahara lo. No, I hate it. Well, animals also were created for good reasons. So you see, the bottom line is that animals were created for reasons other than for our dinner table. And in the event that they end up on our dinner table, so it's not totally fair. So therefore, they have to be rewarded for that. So you see a strong idea within the Gaonim that there is some sort of olam haba for animals as well. Now, you really wish there would be a bigger build-up to this, right? Some discussion, some background, instead of just, you know, an off-the-cuff comment that supports it. But, you know, to get around and say that this is totally off-base, can't really say that when Rav Sajagon holds that way. The Radak in Tehillim discusses this at length. Say Tzadik, he betzedek v'yoshin nosim l'chol echad ocho v'afo pisha chai torif es achai l'ocho k'mo achato l'achbar v'chein ha'arye v'adol v'anemar. So the Radak is discussing a different issue. The first issue the Radak is discussing is animals not eating people, but animals eating other animals. Cats eat mice. Period. Right? Lions, bears, leopards, they eat other animals, right? You go, you watch planet Earth, they work very hard at it, and they do a very good job at it. Also with birds. Ha'ofos ha'darsim, ofos ha'cherim, right? Birds of prey can eat little birds. For sure, it's true with fish, right? A big fish just goes, opens his mouth, and come on through. Kol tzedek mito, ki gam l'chayos u'ofos ha'netrofi nosu lechem gam kin machu mechayeyem. Abigia kutsum u'mavus gozum mikom she'im misosam pamim ba'anos chayim achirim. So he's suggesting that these smaller animals were supported throughout their lifetime, and when their time is up, the way it happens is sometimes they die of natural causes and sometimes they are given as food to larger animals.
And he's saying the reward for that is...
No, not yet. Upamim yigzar shiyamos misas asmo ve'echad hu l'nitrof miyamos misas asmo oyde acher. This is a major discussion among the Chachamim. Ki mehem omim ki shekatar fa'ariya keves fa'dom alahem hu onesh ha'nitrof meisar kel yisbarach. Some people say when a lion eats a lamb, that's a punishment for the lamb. There was a certain bird that he heard, a shalach. A shalach is one of these birds that dives into the water and catches fish.
It can be, and so it could be an eagle, it could be a pelican, we don't know.
Right, it's one of those, a puffin, I think, yeah, right? A penguins?
There's one that's like 200 miles what? An hour or 100
right?
Miles.
Penguins jump in to get fish. And then
water,
seals eat penguins.
It just stabs.
I watched Planet Earth. I know these things.
Well, you're the authority.
That's correct. Toru Maga, there you have it. So he was watching one of these birds diving in to eat the fish. Hayomer mishpatecha tahom rabba. He said the pasuk that we say Shabbos Mincha, mishpatecha tahom rabba. Your judgment is like the deepest of the seas. What did that mean? So his indication, what he meant was, there are birds, there are fish down there. It's come their time to die. God has decided, and therefore he's sending his shliach,
which is in this case is this bird,
right, to do it, indicating that the reason this fish got eaten wasn't just because the bird needed to eat something, but rather God decided, right. That's nonsense. There's no reward and punishment for anything but man. And there are other people who have the third opinion, which the Radak quoted earlier, where he says that no, the only reward and punishment for their interaction with people. So he says basically there are three opinions out there. There are opinions out there that say that animals have no reward and punishment. There's people that say that they absolutely do have. And then there's this limited case, which I can't explain, which is the to the extent that they interact with man. Now again, if I was pushed to a wall and had to explain that, I would say that's our Rashi in this week's Parsha. There is reward and punishment, not like there's reward and punishment, but to the extent that it affects men, for the sake of man, something is done to them, not that they actually have earned one way or the other. These are the opinions out there. So there is a support out there that some dogs and other animals may go to heaven, based on the pasuk in Noach, etc. That is probably a minority opinion. Looking at Rav Yosef Englund's Beitza Otzer, he points out that this is actually two opinions in the Medrash. That the Medrash raises both of these opinions. He matzasi od the davar zeh shayach onesh bebal chayim he machokes hachamim bebreishis rabba. Am Rav Elazar ein lecha adam shu mischayev adam al hazeh elo adam ki yotze bo. Opinion number one is that the only person who gets rewarded or punished is man. Third line of Nas and Omar, Afilu Zev v'Kelev, no, even animals. But then it goes a step further. Rav Huna Bar Gurion Omar, Afilu Makel, Afilu Ritzua. If I take a stick and I beat someone with it, the stick also gets punished. If I take a whip, the whip gets punished. It's very hard to make a logical argument that there is free will for the stick and the whip.
Or is it called 45?
Maybe it's just like a symbolic thing, like respect for human life or something like that. It's not
right, correct. That's obviously what it has to be here, right? You can't be saying that this whole argument that we've developed, that if there's reward and punishment, that indicates that there is free will, and free will indicates that there's intellect, it's not going to work by the stick. Right? So it has to be that, you know, for the sake of showing God's love of man, the stick... Right, it's going to end up being burned, and the fire that's going to end up having the water, etc., the water is going to put it out, and the ox is going to drink the water. It's not a matter of scharva onesh, but rather would have to be that indication as well. Oddly enough, we'll end with this, the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan was written by... What? That's Torah Tamimah. Right, this is an Epstein as well. So, and it was written in the early 20th century. It's very interesting. For the first half of the 20th century, when people had a shaila, the sefer they would go to is the Aruch HaShulchan. It was only in the 1950s did they switch over to the Mishneh Berurah. And to this day, many people assume that we should pass them like the Aruch HaShulchan over the Mishneh Berurah. That there's Rav Henkin assumed that way. And
weren't they contemporaries there?
They were contemporaries. Meaning who? Rav Henkin and the Mishneh Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes, they were both published at approximately the same time. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan has certain pluses. One being is that the Mishneh Berurah is only on Aruch Chaim, as opposed to the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't cover the entire Shulchan Aruch, but covers much more of it. Right? There are some gaps in the Aruch HaShulchan that never got finished. Secondly, the Aruch HaShulchan is much more makel. Right? Which is always a good way to make friends. So, in the very first siman, in the very first sif of Aruch Chaim, if we decided we're going to do Aruch HaShulchan Yomi, we would get to this on the first day. He makes the following comment. Sif, Aruch Chaim Remailu Remaskel Mansur Mishol Mata. Opens up with the pasuk of Proverbs that a person should always be pushing up, nor that he doesn't end up going down. Ubiuro, Nirakia Malachim Nivru Bisheni. That angels were created on Monday. Kimavur Bimedrish. Chain Mavur Bimizmar, Barchinashi, Hamakar Bimayim Eliyosav, Aliyosav. Osa Malach of Ruchos, the Hivdalta Mayim Hosta Bisheni. Now, he said that's. Vabahemus Nivru Bachamishi. Animals were created on Thursday. The malachim have no yitzahara, they have no free will, they just do what God wants them to do. The animals have a yitzahara, however,
they have an evil inclination, but they don't have seichel.
Right, they don't have ability to get past it. The malachim do not get reward for what they do. Why? Because they have nothing to accomplish. There's nothing pushing the other way. So the Aruch HaShulchan comes very clearly and says, animals don't have das.
But they still get punished.
And they don't, because of that, they don't get punished.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't, right? Lo shayach onesh.
Animals aren't evil.
Is sin the evil?
No.
No. Again, animals left on their own have a certain nature, which is the type of thing you might want to keep your distance from. But in the event that they follow their nature, they're not evil. They're not going to be punished for it. That's what they do. Just like you're not going to punish the cult 45. Right? So that's just interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan feels that this is necessary to be the first halacha. So that's the bottom line. So again, I would say.
How does he explain Shor HaNisko and all those?
So again, either it's some way of showing our respect for life, or it's a punishment for the owner, or something of the like.
Or it's a preventative measure in the case of like the shoulder.
Right. Right, et cetera, right? Or you know, like we have by the donkey here, donkey clearly didn't do anything wrong, but, you know, for the sake of avoiding embarrassment, for the sake of protecting people, that's
so,
why that...
So even without eight so far, he gets punished.
Correct. No, he doesn't. That's not a punishment. That's the point. It's not a punishment. As much as the fact that this chicken became chicken wings was not a punishment...
It was just what happened.
Right, and just like this soy became the chicken nuggets, that wasn't the punishment to the soy.
Right?
What? Yeah, he says they have a Yetzirah, but they're not punishment because they were never given the ability to overcome their Yetzirah.
So I want to go back to the idea of photobriosity.
Mm-hmm. We support it.
No, it's a general concept, yes, but it's such an extreme case. I mean, the notion. That an extraordinary animal will be put to death out of consideration for the
a very unextraordinary person.
And so too with somebody who commits bestiality. And it,
right.
You know, to protect the honor of the man, you're going to kill the animal.
And it's the man you're going to kill.
So that's the lowest of the low.
Right.
But
it's
the lowest of the low. So the moral of the story is that the lowest of the
low
is
more
man
than the,
is greater
the sheep
than
in
the,
Wyoming.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that.
I know.